Okay. Welcome to my podcast. And I thought this time I would add something about my own conversion story. I had some people I know who've been listening to the podcast ask me what brought me to the Catholic faith. And so I thought I would take this time now to explain my story. And if anybody out there has their own story of conversion, who are listening to this podcast, feel free to email me and tell me about your story. Or if you want, you can record your own story as well, and I can explain to you through email how to email it to me, how to email the audio file, and then I can post it as part of the podcast as well. So the way to email me is at colibri@catholic.org. That's C as in Charlie, O, L as in Lima, I, B as in Bravo, R, I as in India. It spells colibri. And it is the Spanish word for hummingbird, my favorite bird. I don't know why I chose that as my username, but hey, there it is. Anyway, that's colibri@catholic.org. Okay. So now for my conversion story. Well, give you a little bit of background as to my Protestant background, because I am a convert, and so basically my family growing up, while we didn't attend church on Sundays, or we weren't even really a member of a church, if there was any denomination that my parents would claim, it would be Methodist, so like the United Methodist Church. And so growing up, I did have a belief in Jesus Christ and in his story. I didn't really know much about it or anything about church history, really. I didn't really know anything. And so, growing up, I had that basic belief. And I kind of believed in God, and it was always a kind of a nominal thought in the back of your mind. Of my mind. And, you know, growing up as a kid, I'd go to these Bible camps and whatnot. They were Protestant Bible camps, and learn about things like being saved and born again. And gosh, I was probably quote unquote baptized 3 or 4 times as I was growing up. Cause they always call you up to the front and say, you know, if you want to be baptized, accept Jesus into your heart. And all that, and I was always inspired. I always had this somewhat of a longing to be Christian. I just knew this intrinsically for some reason. Now I see it as the grace of God, as a gift from God. But, so yeah, growing up, I was involved in youth activities and things like that every now and then. Let's see. So what really sparked my interest in the existence of God and the existence of spirits and all that kind of thing, you know, growing up here in the United States, we tend to think of hauntings and things like that, and spirits and demons and all that as kind of archaic and not really something real. I'd have told you up until the age of 25 probably that, you know, when I would hear ghost stories or this or that pertaining to that, I wouldn't really believe it. I thought, oh, these people, you know, probably want attention or whatnot, and would dismiss any stories I heard, really. And so, there were some events in my life that I just could not explain. They were either freaky or they were weird, strange events that happened that I could not explain. The first one I can remember is when I was about 7 years old. I might have been 10. I'm not exactly sure. My sister and I were in my parents' house. We were brushing our teeth. My father had already gone to work. And my mother was, I believe, she wasn't in the house. She was outside taking care of our dog. And we're just brushing our teeth, and in the corner of my eye, I started noticing something emerging. And when I looked at it, now I know it's going to sound crazy, or for anybody out there listening to this, you know, it's fine if you believe me, it's fine if you don't. I'm just trying to relay what I experienced. This is the truth. And so I looked at it and noticed that there was this probably about a soccer ball sized red, fuzzy red looking like ball of light hovering and moving down the hallway past the bathroom door as I was brushing my teeth. Now, my sister was right next to me, and I turned to her and I said, "Do you see that?" And she did, and we were both scared out of our wits, and we watched it go down the hallway and disappear into the hallway door. And that was it. That was my earliest recollection of anything strange like that. Couldn't explain it. Don't know where it came from. Don't know what it was. But it happened. It happened. But, you know, as life goes along, couldn't explain that. Didn't know what it was. Kind of dismissed it in my mind. And that was that for that for a while. Then later on, when I was in high school, my sister was probably 16, and we had, you know, our own bedrooms, and I was a bit of a trickster and stuff, and I would like to, like, play tricks on her and like, you know, jump out and scare her and things like that. Just being ornery, you know. Yeah, I was a little brother, so that's just, that was my personality. I don't know, I'm sure lots of brothers do those kinds of things. So, she was used to that, and so one night when we were all going to bed, we had all just gotten to bed and were probably just about to doze off to sleep, and my sister yelled. She always slept with her door closed, and she yelled from her bedroom. She said, Chris, don't open my door, or stop opening my door, or something to that effect. And I yelled back to her, "What are you talking about?" And then she got really scared and started screaming because she knew there was no way that I could get back to my room in time from when she said that. And my father got up and asked her, "What in the world is going on?" And she said, "Somebody just opened my door slowly and closed it." And to this day, she and I both recollect on the red blob light that passed down the hallway and the time that her bedroom door closed. And right after that, my father looked around the house. All the doors were still locked. There was nobody in the house. We can't to this day explain how that happened, but she still attests to the fact that it happened. I know it wasn't me, and my parents were both in bed. And so, you know, we didn't have, at that time, a little dog or anything running around that could have pushed the door open. She said it was a slow opening and then a pause and then a close. So, I don't know. That was very strange. Can't explain it. Then, soon after, in college one time, I had a roommate, and we had a three-bedroom apartment, and one of the bedrooms we used as an office, and we had our separate bedrooms, and he came to me one day, it was at night, and this was in the wintertime, and asked me, "Did you leave the front door open?" And I said, "No." He's like, "Why?" He's like, "Because it's wide open." And I was like, "What?" And so I went out and looked at it, and I know for a fact that I had locked it. It was securely locked. We tried all different kinds of ways of jarring it loose, even though it was locked, doing it from the outside, maybe wind pushed it open. We could not figure out how that door had swung open. But it was. And, unless he was lying and he did it, and I don't know why he would say something like that, but that's a possibility, I guess, but I really doubt it because I knew him pretty well, and I don't know about that one. So I'm not attributing that to a spirit or anything, but it's definitely interesting and questionable as to how that happened. That was one thing. Let's see, what other experiences have I had? About 3 years ago, I moved into an apartment. It was a one-bedroom apartment, and everything was normal. Had a friend come over that I had known her for many years. I grew up with her brother. She was in college as well, and she asked me, knowing that I write good term papers, asked me for some help to look over her term paper and help her, kind of work on it and do a little research with her. And so I said, fine, come on over, and we'll get in front of the computer and hash it out. And so we were just friends, totally platonic, and we were working on this paper. So we're sitting there, and the door to the room we were in slowly closed itself shut. It closed itself. I'm not kidding. It happened. She sat there and watched it, and if you were to talk to her today, she'd tell you that, yes, this did in fact happen. And if anybody wants to question me on this, I can give you her contact information. Of course, before asking her first for her permission to do that, but she can definitely attest to this happening. The door closed. She was pretty scared by this. I got up and looked around. The furnace was not on. The air conditioner was not on, because sometimes a suction can do that, a suction caused by the furnace or whatever, and none of it was open. No windows were open. This happened on its own. Again, I can't say that it was a spirit. I don't know what caused it, but it was strange. That was one other event. One time I came home in the same apartment and opened the door, and lo and behold, everything in my front room was thrown about. I mean, it was as if somebody just come through and ransacked the house. The apartment. And it was crazy. So I called my landlord, and I said, has anybody been here? He said, no, nobody's been there. I said, well, everything in my apartment is trashed, basically. Nothing was broken, just things thrown about in the front of the floor of the front room there. And while someone could have broken in, there were no signs of any breaking in. The doors were locked as I came home. Windows were all locked. Nothing was abnormal. So, again, I cannot totally attribute that to spirit, but, again, another very questionable and strange event. Got me really thinking. Let's see, what else? I moved into a house about, 2.5 years ago. It was soon after that apartment that I left that place, and I went to a house, actually. And I am thoroughly convinced to this day that house had some spirits in it. For example, 3 weeks into having moved in, it was early fall, probably October-ish, and it was like gloomy outside, gray overcast and everything, and it was probably about 5 or 6 p.m., and I was watching, I remember, the Montel Williams show. I don't know why, there really wasn't anything else on. I was kind of bored, and I was watching that, and my dog was sleeping on the couch at the other end, and lo and behold, coming from around the bathroom area behind me, I started hearing these heavy footsteps as if somebody were actually in the house. These footsteps came right past me. I didn't feel any wind go by or anything. It was just, I didn't see anybody, but these footsteps went back right past me through the front room into the kitchen. And at the moment it passed me, my dog woke, his head went up, he did a little woof sound, and started freaking out, you know. He jumped off the couch, started running around the house looking for somebody. And you could just tell, you know how you know your dog, you know their normal behavior, and you could tell he was a little rattled. He could not tell where this sound was coming from, and neither could I. And I'll tell you what, the hair on the back of my neck was just standing up by this point. I could not believe what I was hearing. And so these footsteps walked past and went into the kitchen. I heard a cabinet door open, a glass to get taken out, and then cabinet door closes. The sound of the glass being put back down under the counter, and then that was it. I went into the kitchen, fully expecting to see a glass sitting there on the counter. There was nothing there. Absolutely nothing. Cannot explain that. I with 90% feeling, have to say that that was definitely a spirit. I don't know how to explain that. It was the sound of somebody walking right past me. No windows were open. The furnace was not on. I don't know. Can't explain it. My dog reacted to it. It was just, in fact, I called my sister immediately afterwards and told her about it. Cannot explain that. I experienced many things in this house. It was just absolutely crazy. I'd come upstairs from having done laundry, and doors that I know I had not opened were wide open. I always slept with my door closed and locked in my bedroom, and my dog sleeping on the bed and everything, and wake up in the morning and the closet door would be wide open. I have never been known to sleepwalk or anything, or have any kind of sleeping disorder or anything. And so I know that at least if those doors were opened by me, I was not conscious of it. But I seriously doubt that those doors were opened by me. I would wake up at night and have this aboding feeling that somebody was in the room. Almost as if somebody were staring you right in the face, but you can't see anybody, or, you know. And I would have to sleep with the lights on. I would turn them on. And it's crazy. I lost a lot of sleep because of that. What else happened? Things would be misplaced. I would know I set my keys somewhere or a book or something somewhere. Come back and they would not be there. Like, for instance, just on a kitchen table. Not cluttered or anything. It would just be there on the kitchen table. I'd leave, go do something else, come back to retrieve it, and it wouldn't be there. No idea where it was. I would go looking around the house and then come back to the kitchen table, or just happen to be passing by it and notice that the object that I was looking for was there again. I'm not blind. I know that those keys were not there the first time I looked, even though I expected them to be. They were there when I came back. They had been moved there. I don't know how that happened. It wasn't my dog. He's too short. He couldn't have got up there and done that. Besides, why would a dog do that? It's crazy. So I don't know. That happened probably 5-6 times throughout the time I lived there. Now that I'm recollecting on all this, I didn't realize there were so many things that happened in this house. Let's see what else. I'd have friends stay over. It was, in fact, there was probably a friend or, a group of friends, guys and girls, that would stay over for the weekend, and we'd grill out or whatever. You know, I had a spare bedroom and a big couch, and people could just sleep wherever. This was before my conversion, so you know. And many times people would mention to me that they felt like someone was in the room or like they were being watched. Or one guy said he was sleeping on the couch and he was almost asleep and felt like somebody was pulling at his cell phone that he was holding in his hand. Because you know how it is, sometimes people text you at night and like you'll wake up or almost be asleep and, you know, shoot off a text back at them or whatever. So he had the cell phone in his hand, he said, and he felt somebody, like, trying to grab it from him, but nobody was in the room. Had a girlfriend come over, we were watching a movie one evening, you know, just dinner and movie and whatnot, and she says that she saw something. I was in the other, I think I was using the bathroom, and she said she saw something walk across the room. In fact, I think she said it was a shadow person or something. I'm not sure. I don't remember exactly. She was pretty upset, freaked out, and she left right after that. She said, I can't be here. And I was just like, wow, what in the heck? And we broke up soon after that, and I don't know how to explain what occurred with her. So it's not just myself that have experienced these things in this house. I mean, friends, my dog, crazy, just crazy stuff like that. Let's see. I remember one evening, probably about halfway into the time that I lived there, I woke up to the sound of a vacuum cleaner, like somebody was vacuuming in the front room. I was really freaked out by this, so I got up to real fast to get up and turn the lights on and look. And I was standing in my front room and was still able to hear this vacuum cleaner in the house. It wasn't like it was coming from, you know, across the street or in the house next to me. It was in that room. And I was baffled, just absolutely baffled. I stood there for about 10 seconds listening to this. The vacuum cleaner, like someone was vacuuming. But honestly, it was like 2:30 in the morning. Who vacuums at 2 o'clock in the morning? I don't know. And it certainly wasn't me. And after about 10 seconds of standing there watching this, or, you know, listening to this, everything went silent. And that was it. Again, I had to sleep with the lights on. What was my dog doing during this time? He continued sleeping. It's like he didn't even hear it. I thought that was strange. Let's see. What else? Are there anything else? Is there anything else that happened? I never ever saw like an actual ghost apparition. I never saw a shadow person like my ex-girlfriend said that she saw. But some friends and I did hear one evening. We were all just kind of, you know, chilling, watching a movie. My friends would come over and we would, you know, bake a pizza, a couple pizzas, and we were all over 21, so we'd kick back and have some beers too, and just kind of, you know, hang out and watch a couple movies and stuff. And before we started the movie, we started hearing like some scratching sounds like that in the walls. Like, you couldn't really pinpoint where they were, but it was like the whole house was being scratched at the same time from inside the walls. It was the strangest sound. And sometimes you can attribute those things to mice, but you can usually pinpoint where that sound's coming from or know the general area where it's coming from. This was not that. I've heard that before. This was like an overall scratching sound coming from the walls of the house. And then we also heard the sounds of like pigs grunting, like, you know, that kind of sound. And it was just freaky. Now, it sounds like all these events happen like in rapid succession of each other. Not at all. These things would happen like maybe two or three events happen within a week. And then just when you would like, and then, you know, like a couple months would go by, maybe 3 months. Sometimes it was 4 or 5. I don't know. I didn't really keep track of it, but it was just something that was, you know, just as you about forgot about the other things happening, something then would happen. And it was just very strange. All these things, now in hindsight, affected me. I thought I was just living my life regularly and everything, and that, you know, these things, I didn't put two and two together. So how did they affect me? Well, I was staying up later because I was, you know, scared to go to sleep. I was tired more often. I wasn't eating on a regular schedule. Now, how does that tie into spirits and whatnot? I don't know. I don't know. It's probably not. There's probably not a tie in there. But I just, I don't know. I was living alone, really. Sometimes a friend would stay for a week or so. Back in those days, I had friends that weren't the best company, really. Even though I had gone to college and everything, they hadn't, and they would come over and stay for a week, you know. And wasn't the smartest thing for me to do, I guess. But I was a bachelor, you know, still am, but I was living by myself and everything, and it was nice just to have some company every now and then. And so these people would stay for a week or so, you know, or whatnot, or whatever, you know. And it was just a different life. It was just a different life. And I started thinking about God and all that, and I knew, I absolutely knew, I had no question whatsoever as to the existence of a spirit world. I knew it. I thought, there is no way that there isn't one. I know I'm not crazy because other people around me have experienced things in this house. My dog has reacted to various things. I know these things are real. So, having thought about that, as far as my conversion, that began a year-long research, I guess, analysis of reading books, going to websites about Christianity, Catholicism, Protestantism, the Reformation, the Rapture, a whole list of various things. I read about various myths about Catholicism, Mary, the saints, you know, confession, various stuff like that, and started really researching the history of the church, reading the early church fathers like St. Augustine, fascinated by St. Bernadette, and it was just a year long, really about a year long study of Christianity. Because I knew that since I not just believed that there were spirits, I knew, absolutely knew, there was no doubt in my mind, still isn't, that spirits exist. That means that something is in charge of the universe. Something did make it. Going back to my earlier belief in Jesus, I wanted to know, well, which church is the correct one? There are 38,000 different denominations. Which one's right? If any of them. So, after learning about the church history, after learning about, you know, I tackled many of the major denominations we hear about, Pentecostals, Mormons, Lutherans, Methodists, Calvinists, you know, all those, the Reformation, Martin Luther, the various controversies like, were books added to the Bible, is the Apocrypha, apocryphal books, are they, do they need to be still in the Bible, you know, all this stuff, who has the authority, blah, 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 you know, all these different issues, I really thoroughly investigated. And so, just as Bishop Fulton Sheen said, I believe it was Bishop Fulton Sheen, someone please correct me if I'm incorrect on this, but he said, or somebody said, that to be steeped in history is to cease to be Protestant. So what I was doing is I was setting out to debunk any Christian denomination, including the original church, the Catholic Church. I wanted to find any contradiction in any teaching that I read about. Because I wanted to not just believe in Jesus, I wanted to believe in the real Jesus, the historical Jesus. I wanted to know what Jesus actually said and did. What did the early church fathers believe? You know, Martin Luther, did he have any merit in what he was saying about the Reformation and what he was protesting? You know, where was the authority at? And so, Pentecostals, I felt like I adequately was able to debunk their belief because, as I understand it, through the readings I made, they baptized in the name of Jesus, and Jesus specifically said, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, whichever way you want to say that. And I believe the book of Matthew. So, Pentecostalism was out. Also, I believe that their version of speaking in tongues is an incorrect interpretation, at least according to the Catholic Church. Okay, then, okay, Mormonism. The whole Book of Mormon. I thought, wow, this is cool. Whole New Testament to Jesus Christ, you know, the Americas, Quetzalcoatl. Quetzalcoatl was a pale man, a pale being or whatnot, and said he would return and deliver his people, and it made perfect sense. Seemed to coincide with with the Christian belief. And I thought, you know, maybe this is the real religion. But then there were some discrepancies in Mormonism that I just could not believe in. You know, the archaeological evidence of the Book of Mormon, for example. The Book of Mormon talks about various languages that the lost tribe of Nebuchadnezzar, you know, riding over on boats and stuff, supposedly spoke these languages. The metallurgies involved, the animals that they used in their cities, and then their farming techniques. What else? This huge battle that supposedly took place that nobody can find archaeological evidence for. I mean, you have battles like Gettysburg. Out in Pennsylvania, you can go out there and people can find archaeological evidence of that battle. If there was this huge battle, according to the Mormon belief, here in the Americas, where's the evidence? How does that just disappear? Nobody's been able to find any evidence at the supposed places that this may have occurred. Also, the cities listed in the Book of Mormon, nobody can find them. You know, you read about Levi's and Lehites or whatever you call it, Nephi and all these kind of things. Never heard of these things before. There's no archaeological evidence. The language, apparently the Book of Mormon was, the original tablets were written in what someone attested to being Reformed Egyptian. Why would people whose oppressors, original oppressors, were Egyptian, why would they write their sacred texts in the language of their oppressors? It's not plausible. Especially when the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. Not that the Book of Mormon should have been written in Hebrew, but it's just the continuity there isn't there. And then you got Joseph Smith and all that. So I'm not going to go through every denomination and why, but those were the two major ones that I really looked at and studied. The others were pretty easy to debunk as far as being contradictory to Scripture. The idea of the rapture, that was a big one for me, because my whole life as a Protestant, I had thought the rapture was going to occur. The whole Left Behind series, you know, huge. And when I found out that the Catholic Church does not teach a pre-tribulation rapture, I was kind of upset at first. I was like, well, really? I was like, come on now, don't take away the rapture. Don't rapture the rapture. It was quite mind-blowing. But upon further inspection, it's true. There is apparently no pre-trib rapture. The verses cited, by Protestants are taken out of context. There is no mention of a pre-trib rapture happening there. I mean, and I don't even mean just the word pre-trib rapture. I'm talking about the concept is not there. In the chapters, like, for example, in Thessalonians, a lot of people, you know, be caught up in the air and all that. that's not what they're talking about. Upon further research, come to find out that the people that they're talking about being written in the Book of Life and all that are the original Jews. Historically, that's who they were talking about. And you have to look at the context of the books and the history of the book that you're reading and all that. And so it's really interesting how anybody can make a new denomination based off of a handful of scriptures and call it truth. And I came to find out why the Catholic Church says that it has the fullness of truth. And, you know, I was able to find contradictions among all of those denominations I looked at. I mean, I probably spent 3 to 4 months researching this. Had this huge thirst for this knowledge. And the Catholic Church, I was never able to debunk anything, any of their teachings. That doesn't mean I liked every teaching or that I agreed with every teaching at first. For example, papal infallibility. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means when the Pope is speaking on doctrinal matters, that doesn't mean everything the Pope says on the phone to his friends and everything like that is infallible. Just the doctrines that he sets forth. People claimed that the Pope adds new doctrines and all this. I later found out that in the Catholic Church, the Pope always coincides with what Jesus taught. I wish more people would look into what the Catholic Church actually teaches. Pick up a copy at your library or something of the Catechism of the Catholic Church and read what is actually taught and do your own research. Do your own historical research from a myriad of different sources. That's what I did. I read Protestants. I read Martin Luther. I read his 95 Theses. I read, I probably spent hundreds of dollars on books. I probably could have gone to the library on these to find, you know, sources, but I don't know. I just wanted to have the book, so I probably spent hundreds of dollars on CD sets, probably $600 or $700 altogether on different sources. All this while maintaining a job and you know, social ties and everything. This whole conversion process happened coinciding with a lot of these spiritual happenings in this house I was living in. This was kind of an awakening and also an interior struggle to lose the old life. Now, I wasn't living a life of, like, you know, of drugs or gambling or anything like majorly awful or anything, but, you know, I didn't have, I don't know how to explain it, I didn't have this constant desire for God or this constant understanding of God or this constant importance in my life for God. And, you know, people always, you know, when you hear about people talking about, oh, I've been saved and all this kind of stuff and they get all churchy, quote unquote, and all that, you kind of want to roll your eyes and whatnot. And so I'm not trying to be like that either. I do admit I was pretty zealous there for a little bit, but and annoyed some people, but a lot of converts are that way because we are just so happy to have finally found the truth. In fact, I finally understand why all roads lead to Rome. And so after about a year of research and stuff, I then called the local RCIA coordinator and began RCIA studies, and I read that catechism in about 8 months, contemplating everything. I mean, there were times when I would be reading until 3 or 4 in the morning because I just couldn't put it down. I wanted to know as much as I could. And I was scared, too, that something would happen to me before the Easter Vigil came, or Holy Saturday came, because you know, what happens if I'm not able to enter the church, if I, you know, die or something before then, and got 8 months to go. So I just pray that God keep me alive till then so that I could, you know, be baptized. I had to be conditionally baptized because there was no official paperwork for a baptism for me. And so April 3rd, 2010, was baptized. And it was an awesome, awesome experience. And I had already been going to Mass on Sundays and everything. But remember that the Catechism tells us that conversion is a lifelong process. We must continually keep seeking knowledge and understanding so that we can also understand ourselves as well and what our role is in the Christian life. And so this doesn't mean that the minute I started RCIA, which I'm sure other people have experienced, this doesn't mean that the minute I started RCIA that I, you know, let go of my friendships or things in my life that weren't positive or whatnot. And I mean, this was a process that happened over time. And I did lose friends. I did stop doing the various things I was doing, you know, going out to clubs and that kind of thing till the wee hours in the morning, and going to work tired, and those things stopped over time. It's a process. And so I was brought into the church, and that doesn't mean that everything stopped right then. Now I can finally say that the conversion is more complete than it's ever been, for sure. I am a practicing Catholic, and I go to Mass almost daily. If I can, I go almost daily. And so it's very important to me. The rosary is very important to me. The richness and majesty of the Catholic Church is just amazing. And the history, it's just an amazing, amazing thing. And I wish other people could experience it, that God would give them the grace to experience what treasure we have in the Catholic faith, the fullness of the faith. So I guess that is the conclusion to my conversion story. That is the basic story. I know some people had asked me about it or emailed me, you know, what got you interested in the church. So it's a combination of things. And so there you go. And I'd like to hear from other people. Again, the email is colibri at catholic.org. That's colibri, colibri at catholic.org. And I'd like to hear your conversion story as well. If you are a convert and you have, you know, your own story and would like to share that and want me to add it to the podcast, I will certainly do so. Just email me, give me a short synopsis of your story, and tell me a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and then I can let you know how to upload the audio file to me, and we'll get it going. So any comments are welcome. Again, you can email me at colibri@catholic.org, and I thank you for listening. God's peace.